marvelous things happen here in the body of Christ, right here at Evangel. But I want to talk to you about a place that I call miracle territory. Say that with me. Miracle territory. Amen. Miracle territory is that place, amen, that God does something wonderful. God does something spectacular. Something that we can't even comprehend. Amen. It's beyond physical. It's beyond mental. It goes to the supernatural. It's that place of the supernatural. Can you say a good amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing over our offering, over our time together today. And we're just believing that God's going to do some great things. Would you pray for me also? I want to share this message that God's laid on my heart, and I want to share it the way that God gave it to me. And I believe that God wants to touch your life. Amen. It's not by my preaching. It's by the Spirit of God. How many realize that? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, as we, Father, open your word today, Father, I pray, God, that you would do something in me, Lord, that only you can do, Father. I pray for that anointing, Lord, to rest upon me, Lord, to speak forth the words that you have for this congregation, O God. Father, I believe, O Lord, that you're bringing us to a place, O God, where miracles, Lord, are commonplace in our lives, O God. Lord, that we won't be surprised, O God, when you do something wonderful, when you do something supernatural, God. We'll just believe, Father, that's the way it's supposed to be. And we give you a praise and we give you honor, Lord, as we, Father, tread into miracle territory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Jesus loved Jerusalem? The Bible tells us that Jesus prayed over Jerusalem. His heart was broken over Jerusalem because he had come to them, and guess what? They had not received him, and it broke his heart. And not only did he love Jerusalem, but he loved Nazareth, the place where he grew up. How many realize that it was there in Nazareth as a little boy that Jesus grew up? Sometimes we don't think about Jesus as a child, but how many realize that Jesus grew up just like you and I grew up? And he grew up in that little town called Nazareth. And then when he began to start his ministry, he went back to Nazareth to preach and to minister. And the Bible says some very disturbing things. It says that Jesus could not perform very many miracles in Nazareth. Isn't that a sad thing? The place where he grew up, he was not able to perform very many miracles. And the reason why is because the people of Nazareth had not positioned themselves in a place where God could bless them. It was because of their doubt and their unbelief that Jesus could only perform a few miracles there. What a sad thing. Let it never be said about our church, amen, Evangel Church of God, that God couldn't do very much here because of doubt and unbelief, amen? When we gather together, we come together expecting, we come together believing that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But this morning I want to make a couple of statements that maybe to help you understand what I'm talking about when I say miracle territory. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to be reading starting with verse 8, and I want to show you what it means, the true meaning of miracle territory. This is what it says: "You shall command the priests." This is God talking to Joshua. He says, "You shall command the priests who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." In other words, when you reach the edge of the banks of the Jordan River, he says, then I want you to not stop there. He says, but I want you to step into the river of Jordan. And he says, and then stand in the river. Amen. I could have titled this message this morning, "Let's Get Our Feet Wet," but I didn't do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God is wanting to speak to our hearts today about where he wants you and I to get, so you and I can see the miraculous, where you and I can be part of what God wants to do within our lives. Can you say amen? Now, let me give you a little background about this story here. This story is about the children of Israel under the command of Joshua. If you remember, Moses has died. Moses is the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage and through the wilderness. Remember, they got to Canaan and they sent in the spies, and only two spies that came out said that we were able to take the land, and the other 10 said, "Oh, we can't do it," and they wept. Remember, and then for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And that whole generation that didn't believe that God could do the miraculous, that God was not able to take them into the promised land, every one of them died except Joshua and Caleb. How many realize that? There's a sermon right in that. How many realize that? That doubt and unbelief, amen, will keep you from receiving what God has for you, amen? But this is a brand new generation, and here they are at the banks of the Jordan River, and they're preparing to cross the banks of the Jordan River. But before they could get into the promised land, there was an obstacle that laid before them, and that problem and that obstacle was the Jordan River. If you'll remember, they had an obstacle in the wilderness, remember, under Moses, if you'll remember that. Remember, they came up to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh is coming up behind them. There is a mountain on both sides of them, and they didn't know what they were going to do. And you remember that God in His divine providence, and by the supernatural power of God, what did He do? Moses took his old staff and raised it up over the Red Sea. And what happened? The waters began to part on both sides, and they walked over on dry ground. Someone said to me, "Pastor Rick, you really believe that?" I really do. How many know that? I serve a God of the miraculous. And that to me is nothing that God could, if God can't do that, He's not much of a God. I believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask and think. We find Israel here now, not at the Red Sea, but we find them here on the edge of the Jordan River. The promised land is just on the other side. And here they're waiting to find out. That's their problem. They've got to get over. The Jordan River at that time was overflowing its banks because the Bible says it was the time of the harvest. It was during the rainy seasons. And what had happened is the rains had come and the harvest times was at hand. And the river began to overswell its banks because of all the water that was falling. The current was swift and it was deep. And they were wondering, how are we going to get across this Jordan? Can I tell you something? It was the Jordan River that was keeping them from entering into the blessings of God. It was the Jordan River that was keeping them from reaching what God had promised them 40 years before. Amen. The Jordan River was that thing that stood in their way and that was keeping them from receiving all that God wants for them. Amen. How many realize that there's always going to be an enemy that stands between you and what God has for you this morning? There's always going to be a devil. There's always going to be someone standing in your way to keep you from obtaining the things that God has already promised you. If you'll remember, God had already promised the land to the children of Israel. They had forfeited that for 40 years. And now they're back and they're ready to go in under new leadership, under Joshua. And he stands between, but the Jordan River is standing between them and what God has for them. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says it's this thief that always comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. How many realize that? So there are always going to be. Satan doesn't want you to enter into the things that God has for you. Listen to me this morning. With every promise that comes from God, there's going to be a devil standing in your way to keep you from obtaining what God wants you to have. That place between you and the promise, that thing that is standing between you and the promise of God, is the place that I call miracle territory. Where was their miracle territory? It was the Jordan River. Can I tell you something? So for you to qualify this morning, for a miracle to be performed in your life, You've got to have a problem standing in front of you. Amen? To qualify for a miracle, you've got to have a problem. Now I'm just wondering this morning, is there anybody here in this building that has a problem? Let me see your hand. Amen? You got a problem. Most everybody here, you got to qualify. You know, it's been said, you either have a problem or you're living with a problem. Don't raise your hands or you'll really be in problem, right? You'll really be in trouble. I said, to qualify for a miracle, you've got to have a problem. Now, I don't know if you're here this morning. I want to make sure that we're equal opportunities here, amen? If you're here tonight or this morning and you don't have a problem, okay, all you got to do is step out of your seat and come down here. We'll pray that God gives you a problem, amen? Do I have any takers? No takers this morning, okay. How many realize we have enough problems of our own rather than trying to get someone to pray for us to have a problem? Amen. But all of us have problems. All of us have troubles. There are things that are trying to keep you and I from obtaining the things that God has already promised you. Can I tell you this morning, I believe that God has a storehouse full of blessings for you and I, amen? And the enemy wants to keep you from entering into that area where God wants to rain down upon you that miraculous thing, that power of God in your life, that you might see the glory of God. Can you say a good amen? I want you to notice something right here in the middle of that verse 8. There says something I want to bring to you. It says, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters... The reason I want you to look at that phrase right there is this, is because that is where most people live. They live on the edge of the Jordan River. There's another phrase there I want you to look at, and it says this, go stand in the river. Can I tell you something today? That's where we have the disconnect so many times. God has told you and I, hey, listen, I've promised to bless you. I've promised to pour out my Spirit upon you. I've promised to do wondrous things that you can't even imagine. Amen. But what happens is we get hung up on the river that's keeping us there, and we camp out on the banks of the Jordan, and we fail to step into the water where miracle territory is waiting for you and I. Now I want to back up for just a minute before I get too overwhelmed here. Joshua says, I want the people to go down to the edge of the Jordan, but he doesn't want them to stop there. Remember, the Jordan is the problem, amen? It is that obstacle that is keeping them from getting into the promised land. But then he says something else. You know what he says? He says, when you get to the water's edge, you know what he says? He says, I want you to do something else. I want you to go just a little bit further. Can I tell you something? That's a lot of times our issues in our lives. We're just not willing to go all the way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The children of Israel were instructed, when you get to the water's edge, don't stop. Don't stop. Because once you take that step into the river, that's when you're going to enter into miracle territory. The river's trying to keep you out, but God says, don't let the river keep you out. You tread on over into the Jordan River. You walk over that which is trying to keep you from receiving the things of God. And that's what he says. He says, I want you to go just a little bit further. Church, can I tell you the difference between a church that is struggling and a church that is thriving and a church that is making difference in people's life? The church that is thriving, the church that is making difference in the life, in the city that they have been planted is they made a decision that they're going to go just a little bit further than where they're at right now. Can you say amen? The church that isn't satisfied, it's not satisfied with yesterday's success or yesterday's blessings. The church that isn't satisfied will go a little bit further. It's a church that isn't satisfied with being average. Can I tell you something? I don't want to be an average church. Amen? You see, somebody's got to be better than average to bring the average up. How many know what I mean? Somebody's got to be red hot for God that it might bring those lukewarm ones up just a little bit. Are you following me today? I want us as a church to be that church that is the exception, amen? That we're not going to be just average. Can I tell you something? The average church doesn't care about souls. The average church doesn't care about their city. The average church never sees a miracle in their midst. You know why? Because it's just a church as usual. I don't want us to have church as usual. I want us to be a part of the supernatural power of God, that we see the power of God moving in our midst. We see God doing spectacular things in our midst. Hallelujah. Average churches don't win souls and they don't make an impact in their city. I believe if we're going to be a church that thrives, if we're going to be a church that succeeds, I believe that we must be willing to go just a little bit further. That we've got to be willing to work just a little harder to be better than average if we want to see the glory of God. Can you say amen? If we're going to be a church that does great exploits for God, hallelujah, we're going to have to step out into the water and go just a little bit further. Can you say amen? You know where we got to go a little bit further in? We got to go a little further in prayer. Amen? In prayer. Can I tell you something? That is the one thing that most of the time the church lacks in. We talk a lot about prayer. We have prayer meetings and we do very little praying at them. Come on. Amen? We've got to go a little bit further in prayer. If we're going to be a church that sees the hand of God move, we've got to go a little bit further in loving our neighbor. Amen? Let me say that again. Maybe you didn't hear that. I said if we're going to be a church that thrives and sees the hand of God move, we've got to go a little bit further in loving our neighbor. There you go. That's a little better. Amen. If we're going to be a church that's better than average, we've got to go just a little bit further in mercy and grace toward other people. Can you say amen? If we're going to be a church that sees signs and wonders, if we're going to be a church that sees miracles, we have to go just a little bit further than where we are now. Can you say amen? Tell your neighbor, you need to go a little further. You need to go a little further. God says, I want you to go just a little bit further. I want you to go not and stop at the banks of the Jordan River, but I want you to step into the river. Hallelujah. How many of you know that there are times when all you can do is just stand after you've done everything you can do? Joshua said, when you get down to the river, I want you to step into the water. And when you step in the water, I want you to just stand. Hallelujah. Stand. That thing that's keeping you. Amen. I want you to stand on that water. Hallelujah. I want you to stand in that place where you are, where you're being fought at day and night. Make a stand for God and say, listen, there might be something trying to keep me from receiving God, but I'm going to walk all over you. I'm going to stand. Hallelujah. In the power of His might. God said, I want you to go a little further. I want you to stand in the river. And listen to this, church. And when they put their foot in the river, that's when the miracle began to happen. Hear me today. Hear me today. It wasn't until they stepped into the what? Water. The miraculous power of God began to flow. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. When they began to step in the water. I've watched people that have come right up to the water's edge. How many know what I mean? And they never would get in. How many know what I'm talking about? They've come right up to the edge. They were that close to a miracle. And yet they walked away without receiving it because they didn't take it all the way in. Amen? How many of you know that you can be close to a miracle and not receive a miracle? Do you know that? You know, you can be in a church like this where God is doing great things, where God's pouring out His Spirit, where God is ministering and doing phenomenal things. And you know what? You can be here in the midst of that and still walk out of here unaffected and untouched because we didn't go all the way with God. How many realize that? Let me tell you, church, it's my desire to see all of us walk across Jordan's River into the place that God has promised us. Amen. There's miracle territory for you and I this morning if we'll just go a little bit further. Can you say amen? being close to a miracle is not like receiving a miracle. It doesn't matter how close you get to a miracle. Until you and I get into a place where God can work a miracle, we're not going to see the miraculous. We're not going to see the power of God in our lives. I know a lot of people that come to the edge, and you know what they say? They say, nothing's happening. God, nothing's happening. And what do? They back off. And they camp out at the river waiting for God to do something. Are you hearing me today? A lot of times we're waiting for God to do something. And guess what? God is waiting on us to do something. Amen? If you and I are going to walk by faith, how many realize that? That means that we're going to step out into the unknown. That means you and I are going to have to take some chances. How many realize that? God said to those people, He said, when you get down to the bank, step into the water. Now the water was raging, the water was fast, the current, it was dangerous. But God said, I want you to step into the midst of the water. Oh, God can be moving all around you, but if you stand on the sidelines, you'll never experience the power of God in your life. Step into the water this morning. Can you say amen? That's where the miracles begin to take place. I believe this morning that God is waiting to do the miraculous in somebody's life, in waiting to do a miraculous in our lives here today. Oh, something that we cannot believe that He wants to do. But we haven't been willing to get off the banks and go into the water where God has commanded us to do, to get into that miracle territory where God wants to move through our faith in Him. Can you say amen? Miracles happen when you step out in faith upon God's Word. How many know what I'm talking about today? It's when they stepped in the midst of the water that the river stopped flowing. I want you to get this in your mind. It wasn't like at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, the water parted. One on the left and one on the right. There was a trail and they walked through on dry ground. But here in the Jordan River, when the priests began carrying the ark of God, the presence of God, when they stepped in the water, you know what happened? Everything on the side where the water was coming down stopped. And it came up into one big heap. And God held back the water, amen? And the rest of the water went on down and made a dry creek bed. How many know what I mean today? And then the children of Israel walked over on dry ground. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when the last one walked over and the last one got over, guess what? The waters went back to itself and rushed down the river. How many know what I'm talking about today? God wants to part the waters for you. God wants to stop the water for you. God wants you to know that He wants to do something miraculous in your life today. Hallelujah. It was in the midst of the water, hallelujah, that God, hallelujah, did what He said He would do. I remember reading, and as I was studying for this, I got to thinking about that. It was in the midst of the water that just kind of began to ring in my ear. And I said, I think somewhere else in the Bible, it says something about in the midst of something. And I began to look, and you know where it was at? It was in the midst of a fiery furnace. Oh, hear me today. It was in the midst of a fiery furnace where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced one of the greatest miracles known to man. Amen. They were thrown into a fiery furnace, and the Bible says that they were not burned, but that which bound them burned off of them. Amen. And they did their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. But that's not the greatest miracle, church. The greatest miracle that they found was that fourth man that was in the fire with them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that the king said, didn't we throw three men? Why is it there four in there? Hallelujah. Why? He says, one, it looks like the Son of God there. Let me tell you, it's in the midst of the fire. It's in the midst of the water that Jesus Christ is going to show up and take you through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It's in the midst of your trouble. It's in the midst of your opposition. It's in the midst of what you're going through where God shows up and shows Himself. And can I tell you something? He don't just show up. He shows out. Hallelujah. He shows out. I love it. The Bible says that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace, the king was singing a different tune. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. And the Bible says that their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Hallelujah. You know, that's not a small thing, church. That's a miracle from God. That's a miracle from God. Oh, listen. I'm telling you, church, it's in the middle of your problem. It's in the miracle territory. It's where miracles happen. Look at verse 10. It says, "And this is how you will know that the living God is among you." Hallelujah. "That He will drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the some other kind of ites there." And I don't know what kind of names these are. Amen. "The Amorites and the Jebusites." I'm surprised there are not Skeetabites in there. Amen. What is God saying? What God is saying to you and I this morning, until you get in the middle of the river, amen, until you and I get in the middle of the fiery furnace, when you get in the midst of your problems, then God will drive out your enemies, amen. God will drive out your many. No, God. We want you to drive out our enemies before we get there. You know what I'm talking about? God, just go ahead and remove all the obstacles and let me just float right in. How many realize that's not faith? Everything that you and I receive from God, we get through faith. Amen. We have to trust God even in the difficult times. How many realize that? When things are not going right, when things are all upside down, when we look at things and we say, God, how are you going to do this? It's in the midst, hallelujah, of those things that we say to God, God, I don't understand. I don't know how you're going to do this. But God, I'm taking a step of faith. I'm getting off the bank and I'm getting in the river. Hallelujah. And in the midst of the river, God shows up. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Faith is believing, let me say, without seeing. Faith is believing without seeing. Hallelujah. Faith is putting our trust in what God said. Let me say that again. Faith is putting our trust into what God said. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. "And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth." I love that. He said, listen, as soon as the priests put their feet that bear the ark of the Lord, and he says, listen, it's the Lord of all the earth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? He says, "shall rest in the water of Jordan. The water of Jordan shall be cut off." Hallelujah. "From the waters that come from down, from above, and it shall stand in a heap." Hallelujah. It's like God says, I'm going to put my hand there and stop the water and make it stay. And it's going to just pile up. Can I tell you something? Some of you are in the midst of a difficult thing right now. You need a miracle. But can I tell you something? It's in the midst of the water that God's going to show Himself. It's going to be in the midst of your problem where God is going to show up. Hallelujah. The moment we take God at His word, the moment that you and I step out in faith, when you step into miracle territory, let me tell you, God begins to move. Hallelujah. You say, I don't see it. Nothing's happening. But let me tell you, even though you might not see it, even though you might not be able to perceive it, let me tell you, something is taking place. Something big is about to happen in your life. Why? Because we've taken His word and we stepped out in faith believing, and God is going to bring, hallelujah, the miracle in your life. Hallelujah. How many know that that's a miracle when God stops the water like that? That's incredible. The water stopped and they walked across on dry ground. So many times we say, well, God, just tell me what's going to happen. Tell me what's going to happen, and then I'll let you know whether or not I'm going to do it or not. You ever been there? I remember one time praying and I said, God, I just need to know. I just need to know that this is what you want me to do. God, this is what you want me to do. Let me know. And a little voice said, that's not faith. Faith is believing and stepping out on what you've heard. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. But can I tell you something? If God said it, I can stand on it. I might not see it right now, but I'm telling you, when I get out of that place and saying, God, I've got to know, and God says, no, you don't have to know. All you got to do is know me and trust me and take a step of faith. That's when I will show up. Hallelujah. We say, God, when you put your foot in the water and you stand, that is when the when it's going to roll back, but not until. You know what I've learned? I've learned if I don't obey God, you know what happens? I find myself standing on the banks of the Jordan River, frustrated. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Frustrated, angry, upset. When I stand there, and until I obey. And I've learned when I don't obey, I'm frustrated without a miracle. But when I step out in faith and I position myself in a place for miracles, let me tell you something, miracles happen. Can you say amen? I'm going to change gears here just for a minute because I want to read a scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, a very familiar passage of scripture. And it says this, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Listen to this. Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You might say, Pastor Rick, that seems kind of an out of sort place for your sermon for that passage of scripture. No, it's not. It's right in the middle, right where it needs to be. It says, if my people, do you know that this world has over 7.5 billion people upon this earth? And can I tell you something? All of them belong to God in the creative sense. How many of what I'm talking about? But not all of them belong to God in the salvation sense. How many know what I mean? And what God says in this passage of Scripture, if my people, I'm not talking about those who are not my people, but I'm talking about my people. If my people will humble themselves, we're God's people. How many realize that? If we will humble ourselves, we will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? If we'll call upon His name and humble ourselves, you know, Proverbs 16 verse 18 says this, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He, what, shall lift you up. God's Word says if we as God's people will call upon His name and humble ourselves. What does that mean, Pastor Rick? It means that we realize that there's nothing good in us and that we can't produce anything. That everything that I have and everything that I ever will obtain comes from Him. Amen. And I humble myself in His presence and I say, oh God, I need You. If we'll humble ourselves. And then He goes on and says, and pray. The greatest things you can do about an impossible situation in your life, hear me this morning, is to get on your knees alone with God and seek the face of God. Because can I tell you something? What you do in the privacy of that prayer closet, hear me, will be manifested publicly, hallelujah, outside the prayer closet. How many know what I'm talking about? I said what you do in the prayer closet will manifest itself outside the prayer closet. If we're not seeing the results that we want to see, how many realize it's time to get on our face before God? It's time to get on our face and begin to seek Him and say, God, I want to see miracles. I want to see the power of God move. I want to see my children come home. I want to see revival come in this church. I want to see the fire of God fall. How many know what I'm talking about? It's when you and I humble ourselves, call upon His name, and pray and seek the face of God that God will answer through the miraculous hallelujah. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you and I can do. We're believing for the impossible. We want to see the incredible. And if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God and get into miracle territory, let me tell you, we'll see the heavens open, we'll see the power of God fall, and we'll see the miraculous begin to take place. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd love to see revival start right here at Evangel Church of God. Can you say amen? Revival, amen, that brings souls to the kingdom of God. Revival that changes the lives of this community. Amen? You know what D.L. Moody said? Revival is no secret. Revival comes when people cry out to God. You and I want to see the miraculous. You and I want to see blinded eyes open. You want to see the lame to walk. Hallelujah. The dumb to talk. The deaf to hear. What do we do? Amen. We get on our face before God. And we seek the face of God. God said, if you will seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. How many realize the church needs to clean up our act? Amen? We need to clean up our act. God says when you do these things, you'll find yourself in miracle territory. He said you're going to hear, hallelujah, a sound. You're going to hear from heaven. That's what He said. I'll hear from heaven. How many like to hear from heaven? Amen? Wouldn't you love to hear from heaven? How many of you know it's going to take more than just good music to grow this church? It's going to take more than just good preaching to grow this church. It's going to take more than just good programs to grow this church. Can I tell you what's going to make the difference? It's when you and I hear the sound from heaven. Amen. We need to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. God says when you hear from heaven, He says, I'm going to forgive your sin and heal your land. Amen. I believe that we're on to something big this morning. The same power that rolled back the Jordan River is ready to flow in this church to do the impossible and to do the incredible. If we'll just step out in faith and believe God and say, God, I'm here. I want to hear from you. If you'll remember in Acts chapter 2, when the 120 gathered together and they sought the face of God, the Bible says that they began to hear a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Remember that? And what happened? It filled the place where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And they began to speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit began to descend upon them as clothed in tongues of fire. And they began to rejoice and praise God in a language they didn't even know. And the people of the world said, man, those guys are drunk. Oh, that we'd get drunk on the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And then what did Peter do? He stood up and preached, and 3,000 souls came to the kingdom of God. That's miracle territory, church. That's miracle territory. Hallelujah. Oh, if we'll just be willing to step into that, people will step out in faith. Why don't we just step out this morning into the water, amen, and watch God do a miracle. You see, I believe that God is able to put back marriages. I believe that God is able to bring your child home. I believe that God is able to heal your body. I believe that God is able to do something supernatural in your life. I believe that God wants to work a miracle because He is in the miracle working business. Amen. All I've got to do is step into that miracle territory and God will do the miraculous. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. I want to ask everybody in this building that'll say, preacher, I need a miracle in my life. I've camped out on the banks for way too long. I've got children that are away from God. I've got people that I love that are on their way to a devil's hell. Oh, I'm sick in my body and I need a divine intervention. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask everyone here that needs a miracle from God. And you'd say, I'm tired of standing on the banks of the Jordan. Hallelujah. I want to step into the miracle territory. I want to ask you to step out of where you're at this morning. I want you to come and I want you to stand right here at this altar. Amen. Just come and stand in this altar. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come right now.